Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God. Thank God that we can come together. Thank God we can lift up the name of Jesus. What a name. There is no other name like the name of Jesus. Just like honey on your lips, isn't it? Just to say his name. We are blessed this morning to come together online. Maybe only one service after this that we'll be doing it this way. We're trusting God that we're moving closer to being together corporately, joining together. So with the same restrictions, sadly, we might not be able to sing together yet or shout too much, but every week closer, a week closer to that place that we really hope and pray that we shall be. So we're blessed this morning and we're glad you're with us online today. Again, we're looking at the book of Revelation. If you've got your Bibles with you, just slide it open there to Revelation chapter 3. And as we consider the last of the seven churches in Revelation, let's quickly remember what we've learned so far. Each church received a special introduction from Jesus, describing an important facet of his person and of his character. As our King, as our Redeemer, as our Messiah, understand this, Jesus has the right to evaluate the spiritual condition of any local church, including these seven in Revelation, but also our church today. And so to all of these imperfect congregations, yes, that's right, his promises in the future stand as testaments of God's goodness, not just to them, but God's goodness to you and I today. And to that we can say amen and thank God. Now in Laodicea, we find a church here that struggled to be productive for the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem was they didn't even know they had this problem going on. And if we are going to be true today, we could say that many of us have flaws or traits that we are unaware of until someone had the love or courage to tell us. And Jesus does exactly this for the Laodicean church. Now, if you know the story, and I'm sure you will, the one issue going on here in this particular city of Laodicea, there was no source of water. Water had to be piped in, and that was quite a feat in those days. Water from the hot springs in Hierapolis, 6 miles north, were brought in. Water was also piped in from Colossae, 10 miles to the east. This is a fact that will become important later on as we go through this. This city was also famous for finances, for fashion, for pharmaceuticals. Again, all these things will become relevant as we go through this today. The Christians or the church at Laodicea were affected in this day by the emperor's laws. And their response to this particular persecution, which involved their ability to buy and sell, I believe is what caused the author of Revelation to call this church lukewarm. We don't want to be called a lukewarm church today, saints. Look at these verses from verse 14 of chapter 3 of Revelation. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, O hallelujah, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich. White clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Verse 22, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. And amen to the word of God. The church of Laodicea seemed to not care too much about anything. Nothing much about anything. They forgot there was a war going on in the heavenlies with hell, a war going on between good and evil, between light and darkness. And here Jesus stands in contrast to the church of Laodicea. In fact, Scripture says at the very start of this portion that Jesus identifies himself as the Amen. Praise God. It's an unusual title. Normally we know amen is a sign of agreement or an affirmation that God will perform something that's going on. In this case, calling Jesus the Amen shows that Jesus is the absolute pinnacle of truth and trustworthiness. Everything that Jesus does is in line with God's righteous nature, and everything that Jesus says can be completely verified through the Word of God. That's why in Revelation 1 verse 5, that is why he is called the faithful and true witness. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Directly, Jesus provides for you and I a consistent and accurate testimony to the Father's message, but also to the Father's character. Because right here, the Lord Jesus wanted to highlight the contrast between his faithful witness and the unfaithful, or can we say, the lukewarm church of Laodicea. Staggering contrast between the two. In Scripture, Jesus also labels himself as the beginning of the creation of God. Now, in the Gospel written many years before Revelation, John actually explained the divinity of Jesus and his important role in creation. Before him, nothing was made. Nothing was made. In John chapter 1, in the first three verses, John actually says of Jesus that he is like God. He is the first and he is the last. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. Revelation especially emphasizes that Jesus is fully God. Amen. Completely God. Firstborn, that word in there is vital because it means that Jesus enjoys a privileged position as the Son of God with exclusive rights to rule over his entire creation. And so here in Scripture, John wanted to remind these believers of this church of the high authority Jesus holds and full devotion of their life that he actually deserves to receive from this church and from these believers. But the question here is whether the Laodiceans will be part of this new creation which is yet to come, because they have not been and are not being faithful witnesses. Lord have mercy. Their works in Scripture here are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. That's what Scripture says. Now, it's often been pointed out that both cold water and hot water, they are good. They are good things. Cold water is refreshing when you're sweating hot and thirsty. If you're making a lovely cup of tea or coffee, if you don't add that key element of hot water, the flavor doesn't extract and dissolve. Lukewarm water, as you well know, is disgusting. It does not refresh you, nor does it soothe you at these appropriate times. and the Laodiceans knew all about this lukewarm water I mentioned earlier. Their water was piped in from Hierapolis Hot Springs, miles away, and so the water you will find was lukewarm by the time it reached Laodicea. Cold water came down from Colossae that was also piped in. But again, by the time it reached Laodicea, the water was lukewarm at that arrival point. And so this tepid, lukewarm water made getting refreshment in Laodicea very, very difficult, if impossible, in these days. So Jesus says this. He says this regarding the church or the Christians or believers in Laodicea. He says, you guys are like your water. Lord help us. You are like your water. In other words, he's saying directly to this church. I can imagine if the Lord was speaking this way to you and I today here at Moss Vale, he's pretty much saying you're apathetic. You're passive. You're lazy. Nothing seems to get you fired up anymore. They aren't fervent about the things of God. It looks like this church doesn't have a passion for anything. And we could say they had reached a place where they are just going through the motions. Yeah. And I wonder how many of us in our Christian walk today, as things stand, are in that particular place where we say we are of a church, we're maybe members of our church, but in the true sense of being a believer, we are just almost going through the motions or our religious walk on a day-to-day basis. Christianity, our faith in Jesus Christ, has become more of a routine than a joy, an excitement, and a passion in our lives today. They seem to be unmoved by anything, but more importantly, in this particular church here in Laodicea, they seem to be unmoved by the things of God. It seems they were indifferent towards the cross of Jesus Christ. They were indifferent towards the Word of God and the condition, more importantly, of the lost people around them. This church was not burning hot with passion for Jesus. Let me tell you something. I want to be part and serve in a church that is on fire for Jesus. I want to be a church that is real, authentic, and relevant, means something to this generation that we are called to serve in. We don't want to be a motionless church, but we want to be a church that's on the move. We want to be inspired by the Holy Spirit and go after the things that the Holy Spirit is speaking to His church today. This church were not doing these things. There was no fire, no zeal, no passion, no joy, but neither were they totally dead and cold, but somehow they were stuck in the middle. And I am believing that some of us know what that means, to get stuck in our Christianity, to get stuck in our faith. We're neither really doing anything for God, but we're not really in the world. We're kind of on the fence when it comes to our Christianity. And I believe one of the things the Holy Spirit is wanting to say to those who've had ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, today you have to make a choice which route you're going to take for your life today. You have to get off the fence and serve Jesus full of joy, full of passion, or serve the things of this world. But don't try and do both, because we're coming to a key point in this scripture today. They're not on fire for God. They're not totally dead and cold. They're in between. But scripture says that particular condition makes him sick. Lord, help us today. Jesus threatens to spit them out of his mouth because they are lukewarm. Understand this. Being spat out or to be spit out of the mouth of Jesus stands here for the final judgment. It almost is talking about them who do not belong to him. Those who have little to no hope of understanding the fullness of eternal life or eternity. Let's move on quickly to verses 17 and 18. It says here, you say, this is the church, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth. I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you're wretched, poor, pitiful, blind, and naked. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, amen, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, salve to put on your eyes so that you can actually see. Hear this today. The Laodiceans were lukewarm. Yes, they were, but they thought they were spiritually rich, and for some reason, they actually thought they had arrived. Lord, they were utterly self-deceived and didn't know in Jesus' eyes they were poor and blind and naked. I want to say something to somebody today, and you need to have ears to hear what the Lord is speaking to you. If you're taking notes, you need to write this down. Listen to this. Feeling good. Feeling good about how you are doing spiritually doesn't mean you are doing well spiritually. I'm going to say that again. Feeling good about how you are doing spiritually doesn't necessarily mean you are doing well spiritually. Lord. Lord, but here is the good news in the back of all of this. If you today, like myself, in days gone by, you feel weak, you are needy, you are desperate, then I would suggest you, my friend, truly understand your position before God. Praise God. The Pharisee in Luke chapter 18 was filled to the brim with how moral and good and righteous he was as a man of God. We know the story. But the tax collector despised himself as a sinner. And Jesus says regarding this story that the tax collector was justified before God rather than the Pharisee. Amen. The question may be for some of us today regarding our current position or situation as a child of God is this. How do we move from death to life? And Jesus tells us in verse 18, Jesus counsels believers to come to him to buy three different items. I want you to understand something today. This church in Laodicea, like every single church today, had a desperate need, and that desperate need can only be met by Christ alone. Only by Jesus Christ. So here's how this kind of plays out. See, we need to buy gold from him so that we can be spiritually rich. We need new white clothes for him so that we will be clothed with his righteousness. We need his eye salve to cure our spiritual blindness. Hear this today, dearly beloved. The Laodiceans would be able to connect with Jesus' words here because there was a famous banking center in Laodicea. And Jesus argues that he has a better gold than the bank. In other words, they need to get gold from him, so in fact they will be truly rich. And so Jesus tells them to buy gold refined in the fire. Again, this refers to the highest quality gold with all the dross completely removed. You will understand that gold and riches are often used in the New Testament to refer to a higher quality of faith and service to God. Listen to James chapter 2 verse 5. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? Amen. 1 Peter 1 verse 7. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Hallelujah. And praise God. This would certainly fit for a church that lacked good works. Listen, friends, if the church would be rich in good words, the first thing they'd need to do is turn to Jesus. Turn back to Jesus. Now, secondly, Laodicea was famous for its wool production, especially for its speciality black wool. And Jesus says now they need white garments from him to cover their nakedness. Now, again, we understand nakedness is often used in Scripture to depict the shame of mankind in his sin. Going right back to the Garden of Eden, God used clothing to cover that particular shame. Now, here, Jesus offered white garments as an appropriate covering for the shame of these particular believers who had not been serving God with all their heart. They'd not been serving God here in the church faithfully. And now Jesus wants to take and remove their shame, praise God, and clothe them in honor once again, hallelujah. But again, in this case, they must return or turn to Jesus. Again, Laodicea was well known for its ophthalmology. I think that's the right way to say that. Their eye ointment was sold across the Roman world, but Jesus tells them, listen to this, Jesus tells them that he can cure their blindness with salve that will restore, praise God, their sight again. It's crucial stuff going on for this particular church here. This perhaps was the most needed cure for this church. Because if the church would not recognize their poor spiritual state, their need to change, then I would say of this church, perhaps there was no hope. There was no hope. You might think today, hey, we'll get this right. You might think today that believers or people who attend churches are people who have very high morals. They go to church, they read their Bibles, they pray, they try to be nice to their neighbors. But let me tell you, that isn't fundamentally what it means today to be a child of God. No, sir. Not at any level. Believers are those who recognize that they are poor. They recognize they are blind. They recognize they are naked. They recognize they have rebelled at some point against God. They realize that they need someone else's righteousness to be spared on the day of judgment. And here's what they do. They pin their hopes on the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, who died for their sins. Why? So that they can be rich with gold given to them by Jesus, so they can have white garments cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And praise God. And after Jesus summarizes all the spiritual challenges facing this particular congregation, he then begins to unveil or show them the practical steps they now need to take. And obviously, they didn't need to go and buy gold. They didn't need to go and buy white clothes. They didn't need to go and buy salve or eye drops. Jesus is using this image to draw them to the real problem or the real answer. And you find it in Scripture. It is to be zealous, to be passionate and repent. To be zealous and repent. And so he first reminds them right here of an important aspect of God's nature. And it is this. Those he loves, he corrects. Those the Lord loves, he corrects. And at times, those the Lord loves, he punishes or disciplines. Now, to this world we live in, this seems a little bit cruel and unfair. But in the eyes of Scripture, God's absolute consistency to deal with my disobedience or your disobedience through correction and judgment is one of the ways that he displays his unending eternal love for you and I. In Hebrews 12 verses 5 through 6, Scripture reads this way, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Amen. So as a loving Father, He wants to bring us back to Himself when we stray. But to do that, He must at some point correct my disobedience. It's imperative. That's why verses 15 through 18 are all about this. Jesus is not trying to show at some point that He is against the church members or the believers here of Laodicea. Rather, His correction of their behavior proves, absolutely proves, His love for them as His people. It's a lovely story. The restoration of these believers now is solely dependent on their obedience to this simple twofold command: be zealous and repent. Be zealous and repent. You see, for a church struggling, and it was, for a church struggling with mediocrity and a lack of commitment, we don't want to be a part of a church like that, who's 50% in. But for this church struggling with mediocrity and commitment, a firm resolve was the first step to getting back on track. Getting back on track with the things of God. The Lord knew they would not repent if they continued in their spiritual slumber or spiritual state. They had to see at some level their spiritual condition as it was, accept the Lord's correction, and repent of their unproductive, ineffective service. Look at what Scripture says here in verses 19 and 20. Those whom I love, I reprove, I discipline, so be zealous, yes, and repent. It's important. Behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, I will eat with him, and he with me. Amen. And praise God. So Jesus calls upon the believers to renew their zeal and to repent. Hallelujah. But listen to this. Listen to this. A dead church isn't going to listen to words like that. No, sir. A dead church will rebel and refuse to change. Let's be honest. How many of us get angry when we're criticized? Yeah. Listen to this. When was the last time you really listened to anyone or heard the Lord correcting you? When did that happen for you last? Because let me say this, it is a bad sign. Yes, it is. It is a bad sign if you and I can't think of the last time when we were corrected. And if that's the case, I would say to every man, woman, and child, we have not been listening. The Lord corrects me and chastises me fairly frequently when I try to get ahead of Him. I try to run before Him. I think I know what's better or best than He does. And sometimes He pulls me back and has, let's just say, a quiet word. A quiet word. Listen to this. If someone doesn't love you, they will not care if you go out there and wreck your life. But if we have hardened our hearts to Jesus at some level, then He is still saying, He stands at the door and knocks. And He is summoning us today to open that door. In the context of these words, I believe they are directed at believers. I believe they're addressed to believers who are actually refusing here to listen to Him. I believe He's shouting here or whispering to the church, open the door. Open the door. In other words, open the door, but repent. Repent and be zealous again. Repent and get on fire for me again. Repent, turn from your wicked ways and follow after me again. He is saying these words again to His church today. And even though these words are addressed to believers, the church at Laodicea, I don't think it's wrong necessarily to apply these words to unbelievers at the same time. So let me throw this in here. Most importantly, if you're looking in online today, if you're an individual, a person who has never professed faith in Jesus Christ, I believe hearing these words by the Spirit today, then Jesus himself is standing, knocking on the door of your life. And I believe he might be saying to someone today, maybe someone who's fallen away, drifted far from God. Perhaps he is saying, hey, listen to me. Hear my voice. Open the door of your life to me. Let me come into your heart today. Or as he says in Revelation 3, 21, 22, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. Hallelujah. To the overcomers, I believe you're looking in today. To the overcomers, the Lord promises here a seat next to him on his throne. I want you to understand this has special significance, as Christ told his disciples that they did not know what they were asking for when they vied for a seat next to him in his kingdom. Understand this today, dearly beloved, to have a seat. To have a seat near the divine king is a special, special privilege. And yet, Jesus offers it to the Laodicean believers. How many of you today are glad for the grace and mercy of the Lord? Whoa, hallelujah, and thank God. The Laodicean church's lukewarm legacy, let me say this, it actually was not their final legacy. I read something recently that stated this. The church at Laodicea survived the emperor's reign. An archaeologist discovered about 20 ancient Christian chapels and churches on this site. Praise God and thank God. Jesus here pleads with the church one last time in verse 22. He says, hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Open your heart, open your ears with humility. Listen, with humility and repentance comes joy and comes fruitfulness. But I will say this, Maybe like me, we are stubborn. Yeah, we are stubborn because at times we are embarrassed about admitting that we at different times in our journey with Jesus have done the wrong thing. But amazingly, it is those who admit they are naked who will be clothed. It is those who admit they are poor will become rich. It is those who admit they are blind will see. Amen. Praise God. Produce good works for the Lord. Do not allow a life of ease prevent you from serving Jesus. You see, the body of Jesus Christ needs our contribution. It needs it from everyone. And I will say this, if you and I fail to contribute, not only are we walking in disobedience, but everyone else suffers when we don't do our part or play our part. Paul told Titus to encourage his church constantly to do good works, claiming, listen to this, somebody needs to hear this, claiming to have faith in Jesus Christ without evidence in your life is going to communicate a very wrong message. A very wrong message. If we belong to Jesus, my life, your life will give evidence of that relationship. It will clearly do so. By God's grace, be fruitful for him by serving in and through his church. But also return to the Lord when you fall or when you fail. We all have times, do we not, of falling and failing and stilted growth in our Christian walk, our life. I would say this to you today. Do not allow the pressures of the world, draw or the draw of sin keep you away from fellowship with Jesus Christ? For today he still desires intimacy with you. And I will say this, he wants to empower or enable you for fruitful, abundant service. But the only way that is restored, listen to this, is if you hear his voice, you let him back into your life when you fall or you fail. Because I will say this, he is never ever at any point going to push himself. He is not at any level going to force his way in. He is waiting for you to give him access, to give you entrance into your life. And so church today, the Laodicean church would enjoy that special communion with the Lord, along with the future blessing of ruling with him, if they repented of their unfruitful faith. In these seven letters, listen to this, Jesus speaks not only to one church, but all churches, including Mossvale Community Church. Why are we sharing these messages? Because every church serving the Lord Jesus Christ in this generation must carefully heed these warnings. It is imperative to our survival as his church, which he deems to be his glorious church for such a time as this. For those believers suffering under persecution or remaining faithful, listen to this, in a corrupted church fellowship, Jesus promises the richest blessing in his heavenly kingdom. So as we close, let me say this. I pray these warnings sober us, every one of us, but also prevent you and I from making the same mistakes as the church of Jesus Christ. Let the blessings of these letters encourage us that no matter what we suffer, what we have to go through in this life, we fully understand and anticipate the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. He is coming again, and he's coming back real soon. So I will close my part of this with the prayer at the end of every one of these verses. What does it say in Scripture? It says in here, whoever has ears, I pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That your church and your people would have ears to hear. My prayer is that we would hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking and saying to his church. And Lord, if there was a letter written to our church, we pray, Lord God, it would be a letter of commendation, of approval and affirmation. And Lord, where we need to be chastised or rebuked, then Lord, we as your church in all humility are willing to hear whatever you see deemed right for this church as we serve you here in this community. All we say is this, Holy Spirit, it's our heart that you would have your way in this place, and that we would continue to be led by the Holy Spirit, that keep our ears attentive to the voice and to the word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. We're going to worship again for a few moments together. Just let these words permeate through your life. As you get into this week, be strong in the Lord. Be courageous in your walk with Jesus. Do not deviate. Do not turn to the left or the right. But walk. Walk in the way that he's prepared for you as a child of God. So be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.